All right, if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you didn't bring your Bible, shame on you. We are missing some people tonight in key roles. And trust me, I miss them greatly. But if you would, here we'll go ahead and look at the Word of God together and study what He has for us tonight. And have our hearts ready to just give an honest worship of the Lord tonight and just see what we can get from His Word and just be faithful because we know He is. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer first. Father, we thank You for opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, in spite of cold weather, Lord, in spite of a lot of different illness and things going around, Lord, in spite of a lot of factors, Lord, we're still here tonight. Those of us who are able, close to our hearts and minds are those who are not able to be here with us tonight for various reasons, some recovering from a procedure, some just away for family reasons, vacations and stuff. And Lord, we just pray for all of them, Lord, and whatever sicknesses are going around, even we all little fight little bugs here and there, Lord, we just pray that You be with all those. And Lord, we ask for a special blessing for them. And I pray that they know that our prayers and our hearts are with them in this. But those of us who are here tonight, Lord, I pray that we would just study Your Word together, that we would get something that we can be encouraged by or be edified by and apply to our hearts and to our lives, Lord, so You can make us be a little more like Jesus. And Father, I pray that You would just bless this time in the Word now. And as we go through it, we just thank You for whatever You're going to show us in Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Last time, we covered several verses in chapter 5, made it through that first six or seven verses there. We're just going to cover a couple of verses tonight, maybe get you out a few minutes early. Before I forget, it's not super important, but if a couple of people are available, we do need to move furniture. I understand that's still the goal. So if we're able to do that after the service tonight, I'm saying it now so I don't forget. We need to move some stuff in preparation for Sunday's program. So I said it out loud, so don't let me forget it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, pardon that. Read several verses there. We're in this portion. We talked a lot about fruits of labor and things like that. And God going through the discourse, and well, Solomon rather through him, was the best thing you can possibly have in this life is the fruit of your labor, right? Whatever you can acquire by your own efforts, that's Solomon's position. As his observation is that that's the best you can do in life, in this earth, in this world, under the sun or under heaven or without regard to God and His joining in with our life, His cooperation, His activity in our life. So if you disregard the Lord and His intervention, the best thing you can have in this side of eternity is whatever you can acquire for yourself by your own efforts. And here we've had a couple of instances where He's discussing reasons or explaining conditions in which you may lose the fruits of your labor, things that may cost you. In the first several verses of chapter 5, He encourages, says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not, they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God." So we talked a little bit about the importance of considering how God is holy and just and deserves our reverence, right, our fear. So we don't make empty promises to God or these vows discussed there. As a matter of fact, that portion of Scripture closed with verse 7, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities." A lot of things that are empty, useless. But it ends up saying, "But fear thou God," right? That's the most important thing. Have a reverential trust for the Lord. But in that, so making empty promises to God and those vows with nothing to back them can cost you the fruits of your labor because He will come and collect a debt. Now we're talking briefly here. The fruits of our labor may be lost by corrupt officials through extortion. This is kind of in the realm of human interaction, right? Things that may cost you the fruits of your labors. And I mean, I think a lot of this we can all appreciate and understand. Verse 8, if you would, look. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. So it says, if thou seest, or perceive, if you're observing, right? The word oppression there is the word something taken by force, like extortion, whatever. So that's the word there, is the oppression of the poor. And we obviously know that that's in reference to people who don't have anything, people that are in want, or impoverished perhaps. The violent perverting, it's kind of like robbery and plunder, taken by force like you would expect. And the judgment there, where meaning law or ordinance, just like you would assume. But Solomon here, he is revisiting the topic of oppression. He discussed it in the last chapter, chapter 4, and time before. He's revisiting that here. And we as people have a general desire for justice. I think that's a universal truth that can be observed anywhere you look in the world. Perhaps that's inherent, and perhaps it's a result of our being made in the image of God, who also demands justice and righteousness. So if, he's saying, or in the sense of when rather, when you begin to see or perceive or observe the extortion, the abuse, the things being taken away by force, if you're observing this extortion of the poor, those who are in want and impoverished, and when you see the violent perverting of judgment or the plundering of law and justice within a province or within the leadership, the government, marvel not. Don't be shocked. Similar to what Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you, it hated me first. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world takes from you, right? If people are extorted or abused, and specifically the poor are targeted in certain circumstances, targeting the weakest one, like, certain animals, predators tend to target the weak in the herd, right? To take them out first. We see that often in life. So Solomon tells us not to be shocked when we see the oppression of the poor and a denial of justice and righteousness. And he goes on to give us the reason why we should not marvel when we see injustice. Because he says in the text, one official essentially watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them, right? It took me a while to sort that out. So here's what we sometimes deal with on earth. There can be, and certainly have been, many occurrences of great tyranny and dictatorships run by wicked men. It doesn't take much reading through history books to find a few names that come to mind, right? Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, some guys that really wicked men who had a lot of power. And in their reigns, you saw great tyranny, and you saw these things, the abuse of the weak, the poor, all right? Run by wicked men, which are hard to even read about, much less to have lived through them. We can hear firsthand accounts of a lot of these situations. However, a kingdom, a government, may generally be well run in some cases, but it may happen from time to time that a particular province, so within a kingdom, you have certain provinces or regions and things like that, may be subject to the leadership of a corrupt individual. His bad administration may lead to injustice. And sometimes it is hard for even the wisest of leadership to see what all is happening in every province. You may think back to stuff like the story of Robin Hood and things like that, where things were so bad and the abuse from the Sheriff of Nottingham, if you need that recap, we'll not go into the whole story. But somehow they thought it best, well, it paved the way, and I don't agree with the idea of robbing from the rich, to give to the poor. Two wrongs don't make a right, obviously. But for whatever it was, the situation was bad enough where in the story it seemed to be that was the obvious solution. Right? The rich is stealing from the poor. Obviously, the solution is to steal it back. The point being, we see an illustration of this kind of situation. There's a great kingdom, but in this one small shire, Nottingham, this one sheriff was very abusive to the poor and abused. We're not given much context about the rest of the kingdom, but we know at least in that place, things were bad, right? You can see that happen in reality all the time. So it's important to remember when we look at these kind of things and inhumane things we see around the world and just bad and wickedness all over, it's important to remember that God did institute human government. So there is nothing inherently evil about the idea, the concept, the structure of human government. All right? God is not wrong. It's important to keep that in mind as we go. But in most, certainly not all, systems of government, there are some sorts of checks and balances within the system that to aid in avoiding and correcting corruption and abuse like Solomon is discussing here. Our government here is a good example of such. Beginning, if you think about broad picture, the Constitution itself is the framework. And then within that, again, broad strokes, you have judicial, executive, and legislative branches, okay? Within each of those branches, you have these little subcommittees and whoever else and these boards and things that are over different nuances within the operation of that government, mostly aimed toward targeting certain goals and some specifically to look into corruption or things like that that need to be addressed, right? That's all part of human government. So there are things within that to target these things, but that also is evidence that these things exist. The reason we have an oversight committee that's looking into potential corruption in places is because there are potential corruption scenarios, right? And even historical facts where they have, in fact, happened, had to be addressed and resolved. Our government is a great example of that. And even a little smaller, you have the federal, of course, in broad stroke. You have state, county, city. They kind of mirror each other in the structure, but all the way down to province and smaller, right? To use the Bible word here. In all of these levels of government, human government, that of course God ordained, there is someone watching. And there is someone to answer to when corruption is discovered. Above all, there is also a creator God to answer to. He is, of course, higher than all, overseeing it all, and will certainly judge the corruption and injustice in his time. I personally believe God takes seriously and judges those who take advantage of the less fortunate and those who are weaker. God will take care of that situation. So I'm not looking for a soapbox here, but just bear with me. But we need to pay attention to how things like payday loan interest rates, right, are looking. Those are terrible, very abusive, regardless of, you know, this isn't a political issue. This is just a real thing. Look at that. They're abusive, right? Somebody who is struggling, there's a bill due, their power's going to get cut off, their kids don't have heat, they have to look towards something like that, right? They go into that and they get themselves upside down in a debt they can never repay, right? They end up in a cycle of that of being abused by people, right? Not going into all that, but understand those are problems. Look at programs claiming to be for the betterment of the impoverished. Perhaps some of them are more effective in creating an unhealthy comfort level for those who abuse the system and guarantee votes and padded pockets for some corrupt leadership. We know it happens. Pay attention to the fact that you pay a sales tax when you buy certain things and then you pay a property tax to keep it. Double taxation has been a point of contention in our nation's history. But there are all sorts of things that you can look at that we would say are obviously imperfect or injustices or things that we would do differently if it were up to us. Understanding, of course, that God, of course, did still institute human government. It is still authority that we must answer to in our life. But nonetheless, we can see, obviously, if we were to go digging around, injustice, and we can see oppression of the poor specifically in our nation today and all over the world. Some places, obviously, worse than others. We should thank God that we don't have it as bad as a lot of places. But we also thank God because we can have the confidence and understanding and remembering that he is still on the throne and in control. So rest assured, if the human government fails to identify and weed out the corruption, God will. In Psalm 12:5, he says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." And in Psalm 58:11, "So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth." God is watching, and he will take care of things. So don't be surprised when we see corruption and depression. Look to the Lord. There are terrible things to observe, but they do exist. God says, don't be shocked by it, but we should find some comfort in knowing that nothing takes him by surprise. There's nothing off his radar. He is in control, and his will shall be accomplished. In verse 9. Told you we're going to move pretty quickly. This is, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. Profit, of course, is advantage or gain. Earth is the ground, the earth. And all means all, right? The whole, the everything. So, for there is an advantage, there is gain of the earth, of the ground, and it is for all people, right? For all that is involved, all of creation, there is a benefit, right, coming from the earth. A couple of passages to look at, I'll read it to you. In Job chapter 28, you can make a note, read that. A few verses there. Surely there is a vein, V-E-I-N, vein for the silver, and a place for gold, where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death, the flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up. They are gone away from men. As far as for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and a thing that is a thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. There's a plenteous supply of everything in the earth, and God sustains it, making sure there's a provision for everything. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And then in Psalm 104, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of a man, and that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of the man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. So a lot of scriptural evidence here backing the idea that God has given provision, made provision for everything, for everyone, for every part of creation in his earth that he sustains himself. His creation will sustain his creation. He's created it that way as such. In Proverbs chapter 13, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there that is destroyed for want of judgment. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. To bring that whole thing, the idea back to the context we're dealing with here, the working of the poor, those who are tilling the ground, says much food is in the tillage. That's what produces the food, right? We're talking about the extortion of the poor. We're talking about those that are in leadership taking advantage of their subjects. The next verse says, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. Added with the Proverbs verse, the profit or the gain or the advantage of the earth is delivered to all by the hands of the poor, right? Those that do the work. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. This idea is not excluding Solomon. I think he knew this concept well. And I'm going to read you a few verses from his life story, the account we have in Scripture. It's a hefty passage, several verses. If you want to look at 1 Kings chapter 4 with me for a few minutes, and we're going to finish up here. In in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month in the year made provision. And these are their names: the son of Hur in Mount Ephraim, the son of Dakar in Machaz, and in Shealbim, and Beth Shemesh, and Elon Beth Hanan, the son of Chesed in Araboth, to him pertained Sokah, and all the land of Hefer, and the son of Abinadab in all the region of Dor, which had Taphath, the daughter of Solomon, to wife, Baanah, the son of Ahilud, to him pertained Taanach and Megiddo, and all Beth Shean, which is by Zartanah beneath Jezreel, from Beth Shean to Abel Mehelah, some of these are good, even unto the place that is beyond Jokneam, the son of Geber, in Ramoth Gilead, to him pertained the towns of Jair, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead. To him also pertained the region of Argob, which is Bashan, 70 great cities with walls and brazen bars. He said, why did you have to read all the names? Because God wrote them, that's why. I think they all serve a purpose. The point of that passage that we read is, and Solomon had 12 officers to 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals or victuals, all right, for the king and his household, each man his month in a year made provision. So, backing up to the greater context, right, we have injustice, we have these things, we have leaders that take advantage of poor people here and there, but we said, after all, God did ordain human government. There is a structure in play, there are checks and balances, right? There is a king, and there are those underneath him. We have a picture now of how Solomon's reign worked, right? He was the king, and underneath him, he appointed these men, these officers, over different provinces, right? So within those provinces, Solomon is responsible for keeping in touch with these gentlemen, and beneath them, there are other people, like what we would equate to, like maybe small police officers or little governors or mayors and that sort of a thing, with their different names, but the same idea. If there's corruption in them, it must be reported to these guys, who could then take it back to Solomon. And within the structure of this human government, we find this other portion of thing here that says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, right? So God has made provision for everything in Ecclesiastes 5:9. Moreover, the profit, the advantage, the gain of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. It's interesting. The king technically is in charge of everything. God owns it. God creates it. But the structure that God had given in human government, right, to make the laws, to make the governing of man, to keep everybody somewhat accountable and that sort of thing, within that structure, fallen and sinful man mess things up, right? There is oppression. There is injustice. Overall, God is still in control. His system is still right and good, because that's all he can do, is right and good. And overall, the overarching thing is, there are the poor, right? And for the lack of the better way of phrasing it, they're at the bottom of the food chain, if you would, so to speak, in this hierarchy, right, of human beings. There's the king who's at the top, and there's the poor who are at the bottom. The king is completely reliant upon the poor if he wants to eat, right? So let's say God wasn't in control. He is. But let's say the human government thing was set up and he just let it run rampant. Like, say, if he goes hands off and the devices of evil men take effect. You can only abuse people for so long before they either die or disappear, right? Well, then who's going to be tilling the ground, right? These selfish governors and sheriffs and mayors, they're not going to do it. They're going to try and find other people. But you understand that if the king wants to eat, he has to, if he's a wise king, take care of the poor somehow. So the wisdom that we can find in that is being charitable, of course, but I think God's greater purpose here is to understand that when we see things, right, because that's what he said, don't be shocked when you see injustice. Don't assume that everything is falling apart. Yes, there's injustice. I'll deal with it. There are things in place that These people are accounted to these people for their injustices and the corruption that you see there. But you, especially here, not in this text, but overarching themes in Scripture, when you see these things in the world that you live in, you have to look at Him. You have to look to the Lord. Understand that above it all, or beyond, through it all, rather, all of this great injustice, the most basic of things, if you want to eat, you are going to rely upon the tillage of the poor. If that king wants to eat, he has to be reminded that he has to take care of those beneath him. If you run, if take it over the context of the business world, if you want to run a successful business, a company, the CEO, the CFO, the COO, they must understand that the ground level employees must be looked after, taken care of. These are principles that we can carry in just about any avenue, in any aspect of life. But specifically in our context tonight was in Solomon dealing with the kings and dealing with in his provinces there was injustice. And like I said, looking forward to today's time, we see these exact same injustices. We can see corruption. We can see oppression of the poor. But we can also see that God is still in control. And that's the overarching theme that we must remember in keeping the fear of God, right? That's what he keeps saying. Fear thou God. This isn't in a different context. I believe it's in the exact same context as a command and the encouragement we've been given in the previous verses. Regardless of what's going on, fearing God is very important. Reverential trust, right? We revere, we fear him, we fear his judgment. We should, right? He is holy above all. That is the number one attribute, right? Holy, holy, holy. Is God love? Absolutely. Is he long-suffering? Absolutely. Much more than we deserve. But he is holy. He is right. He is just. So if there is injustice, if there is unrighteousness, it is in spite of him, and he will not let it continue. At some point, he will demand fear. And that is a reverential trust. We are best served to start out with that. Fear the Lord. Trust him. Though there be oppression, don't be scared. Don't be shocked by it. Though you see a perverting of judgment and you see injustice in this world, don't let it bring you down too far. Understand, take it serious, be concerned, pray for it, but know that above and beyond all, we must fear God. We have a reverence to him, and we trust him to accomplish his will in our lives, immediately those affecting us personally, but also in the overarching context of the world and how he runs it. God's will be done. And the profit of the earth, the advantage, the gain of the earth is for all. There is something for everyone. The king himself is served of the field. No man is at the top of the chain. Only the Lord is. And that's enough for tonight. The next section starts out a little longer.